Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Treasure? Is this our first podcast since last year?
I believe it's our second.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, it's 2020.
I know. And
Unbelievable.
much, January 2020 was quite the year in itself.
Well, it was.
And here we are, and tonight's our city council meeting, so we have a lot for people kind of to be ready for. There's a lot of issues that people are going to be speaking on.
You know what? There really is, and some very important things going on, and some things that are really disturbing happening within the city. So let's just get right into it.
Well, I think the big thing that I saw last week was the killing of Vader, this dog that his owners were walking and he was on a leash. And during that time, another dog came up and went after the family. The dog, what do dogs do, grab the other dog. It resulted in injuries and death. And then the animal shelter takes him and kills him. After telling the family, like, hey, you're going to work with you to get your dog back. It's just, I can't even believe it. I just reading the story, I'm like, why are we still here? Why are we still doing this?
I'm not sure what the protocol is, but I mean, is that something that is that really done? Or who makes the arbitrary decision to kill an animal in that? I mean, especially when you're telling the family one thing and then they find out something different. All in all, it's just a very sad situation that could have been avoided if people running the shelter and dealing with the animals, and we just don't have that right now. So why don't you share with us who's running the shelter?
It is still Lieutenant Frank McCumber, and he has been at the center of so many issues. His attitude, his just workability with regular residents, shelter, rescue people, he's just the worst. And I can't believe he's been allowed to stay there. Like, all we've heard is complaints about how he treats people, how he interacts, how the animals are being handled, and yet he's been allowed to stay for this last year. And I don't even know how many times we've had people come to the dais, or there's been protests on the streets. Like, we're being failed, like completely failed by PD and city management for allowing this to continue. This guy can't even treat animals with respect. Can you imagine, like, just how much hatred he has towards regular people?
Well, the thing is that, it's apparent to me that any life form can't be trusted around some of these San Bernardino police officers, because it's clear that this is not the first situation like this. I mean, this has been something that's ongoing with the shelter now for these, past few months, at least within this last year since they've been in charge of it. And I don't see that management is really doing anything about it. I know that they aren't trying to find a competent person to run the shelter. They don't seem to want to work with the organizations that have offered so generously to help. And I don't know what the volunteer situation is up there, but it just seems like they really just want to keep it all to themselves. And that does not help the animals that are in the shelter. So I think that this is, a lack of management, making sure this situation is handled and addressed, because I don't think they're addressing it. I'm sure there are tons of complaints that go unaddressed.
Yes. And that's the problem, is everything is just being falling by the wayside for the residents, falling for the city. How much longer can we continue this?
I don't know, because it doesn't see it seems like a little thing to say, well, the shelter is being run by the police department and it's not being run adequately. It's one thing to say that, but the problem is we are a city that is struggling financially. And every time an incident like this happens, I have no doubt that this poor family who has lost a family member, because animals are family members. Most people that adopt animals treat these people, or treat these dogs, I want to say, like I treat mine like a person. So treat these animals like they're a member of their family. And as such, accordingly, a wrongful death suit will probably follow.
Oh, yeah, and, they're talking about it.
and it just, like, you know, you're causing these situations where litigation, which is easily won by the plaintiff, keep happening. And these things add up.
And, oh, yeah.
And, you know, let's not act like the police department hasn't already been successfully responsible for the first bankruptcy of the city, because they were.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, it's like, we can say, okay, we don't have the best facility financially. We can say that we don't have the best quarantines. That's one thing. But to just lack on sheer customer service or civility, that's something you don't have to buy. That's something that the budget doesn't have to appropriate. And that, to me, is absolutely unacceptable. That just keeps happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that, and like, you to the point about the bankruptcy, $350 million had to be written off because of how many times the police department was sued for violence against residents.
Yeah.
And maybe animals. I know, you know, the now assistant chief of police, David Green, had a lawsuit against him for crippling a woman, beating her so badly. When she's the one who called 911 for help in a domestic dispute, he shot once. I mean,
so it's funny, because what do we do when we have these officers that are such a drain on our finances? Well, let's put them at the animal shelter, so then they can now hurt animals and get sued.
Right.
How does that make sense? I mean, obviously these people should not be around any life form whatsoever. Yeah, it's like, I don't know why they're even still around. So I'm hoping that we can find someone to come into the shelter and really, like, with a heart for animals, and with a heart for adopt animals and make them adoptable, and situations where people can't have access to adoption, right?
Yeah, but I think, and a lot of people are talking and reporting that those that are being eyed for the animal shelter are connected to the mayor and the top brass at PD. So I'm not really sure that we're going to get somebody like that. And that worries me greatly.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And the city manager is directly helping the mayor pick and choose people in who get hired through this city. So there's a big problem. Like, the amount of corruption and complacency is just beyond. I think we see a situation far worse than Bell. Like, they were greedy and they were trying to give themselves raises. Here, they're trying to manage and take over an entire city.
Wow.
Because they already make the good money. Like, it's not, you know, $250,000, $300,000, $150,000. Like, they're not hurting financially. They just want to control every aspect of other people's lives and do whatever they want. And that's a problem.
So my question to the people of the city of San Bernardino is, why? Why are you allowing this to continue? Why are you not electing people who have our best interests at heart? Why are we not holding people who are there accountable? Why isn't everyone showing up to these council meetings and telling the mayor and the city manager to get their shit together and run this city properly? Why? Where is the outrage?
On Facebook. People are mad online, and that you can't just, they don't, you no. can't just talk about this online.
Where is it in the UK that they do that? The whole, like, screaming and yelling at the representatives and throw shit at them. That's what we need.
In Taiwan, do they throw down with each other? And I think I know people get upset online, and everybody has their outlet. I mean, I like to call myself, you know, a big proponent of social media, but The truth of the matter is they're watching us online. They, you know, John, remember he was trying to spam everybody's comments about him. Basine's there, Henry's there, Fred, and God knows Sandra's always on Facebook. You watch them hear the comments of the people and then absolutely not care. They're not going to change their habits because they're going to do what they want to do regardless of the will of the people. And they have a majority. You have Henry, Juan, Basine, and Teddy, who do what they're told regardless of whether it benefits the city or the residents.
And there is, and I'm holding in my hand right now, I wish you guys could see this, I'm holding in my hand right now my ballot. And this ballot will allow you, the everyday resident of San Bernardino, to change the trajectory of this city by firing Henry, Basine, and Juan, which compose the mayor's three-person voting block, right? Get rid of them. Take the power away from this mayor. He's completely out of control. The ballot is in my hand. I'm literally going to mail it today. And I have to tell you that I held my nose and voted for the incumbent because, I mean, I don't have another choice. These other two people in Ward 7 that are running are also would be aligned with the mayor. And I can't vote for that, right? And unfortunately, no one else is campaigning. So I had to vote for Jim Overhill. And, you know, it is what it is. And I'm hoping that, you know, he can change some things about the way he is also a representative. But we'll see. I'll talk to him about that later. But so let's move right into the mayor of San Bernardino and what's happening with him.
What isn't happening with him?
He's breaking the city.
Oh,
in more ways than one, right? I know that you and I have talked and we're going to, you know, like we want, I mean, like there's all these different things that are happening and we want to do like some kind of a sequential timeline of what exactly has been happening since he's gotten elected and even since before he got elected, because it all starts with him and there's a shooting and a robbery. Now, you have to say to yourself, we should have seen the writing on the wall right there, right? Because it has been nothing but a disaster having him as mayor.
Well, and it showed, I think it was like the, you know, for those who like books, it was a big foreshadowing of things to come. He didn't call the city manager. He didn't call 911. He didn't call the chief of police. He called Eric McBride and David Green and concocted a story so that when he did call the police and report this, it was a day later and he already had a pre-written statement on his laptop that he read. You know how he has those like ready statements at the council meeting? Imagine that, about how he had this illegal meeting at an illegal pot shop. Right. And that cover up right there should have been it should have been the reason why those two should have been fired, but that didn't happen. And then from there, we watched him create this crazy hostile work environment with Bill Asaley against the city manager and the city and anybody that was challenging him. He was called out for inappropriate behavior with employees last year and warned, and then pushed to have the city manager that warned him fired, along with taking away and stripping her power through the municipal code with the help of Juan, Henry, Basine, Teddy, and Sandra. And then they brought on a new city manager, gave her $70,000 to keep her mouth shut for the rest of the year, allowed him to rearrange the police department. Then he started verbally attacking her when she wasn't going to allow Burtek just to receive a raise, which was a huge campaign contributor to him. He went after Fred, declared himself king. He attacked Gigi and Gary, and they're, you know, trying to get them to resign because they had stopped him, exposed, you know, through public records request, general information. He wanted to have this federal advocate out there. I mean, and then when that ended up being a bust, which I 100% am sure that he knew this guy was a crook because John is a crook himself, and they stay together. So once that fell through, then he rushed the city manager, tried to get the contract taken away before the people found out, and then now he has these claims with the sexual harassment of two of his employees. I mean, my God.
I mean, it has been one ordeal after the other, scandal after scandal after scandal. It's like he attracts this like negative energy. And the latest is something that we posted about yesterday, and that, you know, people were reaching out and letting you know and letting others know that there were some charges that were going to be leveled against the mayor for harassment. Now, mind you, that this is separate and apart from the harassment and retaliation that he... and the city clerk when he cut their pay. So that's different. Because people are, you know, people are saying, well, is it the same thing? And no, there's actually folks that work office that have been complaining about the mayor's behavior with them there. And I know that we posted an email and it doesn't specifically say the name John Valdivia, but the reason you know that it's a charge against an elected official, and there's only one elected official that works in the mayor's office, and that is John Valdivia, is because of the language in the email that speaks to statutes and regulations around state and federal law, which has to do with the election code, because a case involving the mayor or an elected official is very different from a regular HR case. So let's say that the person that is being accused is a management position, a person who is hired and not elected. That could be handled internally through HR and through their own city attorney. However, because it is an elected official, it has to go outside for outside counsel, because it's a conflict and because there are special rules and laws that deal with charging an elected official. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure, I know that some people have mentioned, but his name is not on the email, but that's how we know that it is an elected official, and that it is in fact John. And there are other ways that we know as well, but we did have that one piece to post, and we wanted to make sure that people knew that we weren't just making this up, that this is really happening.
Yeah, unfortunately. Like, I hope everybody understands the caveat that we have is, unfortunately, we have to put this stuff out here. Like, I am so sickened and saddened that anybody faced sexual harassment at their workplace and by an elected official. It is, as someone, and I speak to this as my 10 years in municipal, you know, governments and public sector, it's a horrible feeling to watch this happen to somebody, let alone have it happen to yourself, when you're worried about your job and your livelihood based on, you know, the actions someone else wants you to perform, or that they want to make you feel a certain way. It's unacceptable. It's just absolutely unacceptable. And in 2020, we're doing this, like, he's doing this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been, you know, I've always been a let's let the, you know, evidence speak for itself. And I know we tend to sometimes be privy to a little more information than others. So based off of what I know and what I've heard, you know, I am like, wow, it's unacceptable.
It is. I mean, it's just, it's unacceptable for anyone, but as an elected official, you're supposed to be held to a higher standard, or you should be held to a higher standard. You're the leader of the city. And as the leader of the city, to behave in this is not acceptable under any circumstances, and he should resign. He should step down. And not only should he do that, but the other council members that support him should denounce his behavior and his actions. And I think,
absolutely.
And I think that's why, because John raises them tons of money. This is all about money. And this is why we need to get money out of politics.
Everybody has at least some like the people that John supports have the donors, have the same consultants. I mean, you can tell who they're funneling money to, and the money goes back and forth. Like, it's a very laundered scheme here about how John puts money to some of them, then they go all of a sudden and pay back for these different services he's provided. And that's why, like, it was the funniest thing about Dave Malinowski in the Seventh Ward, because there was a name, this name had popped up during a public records request, and I couldn't figure out why John was trying to get this guy land deals and having the city manager help him. And then here we go. Here he is, a candidate for city council, hiring the same consultant that Juan used, and Basine and Henry, and he's getting money from the POA and the fire department, who say, you know, they support who John supports. Like, how crooked. And but you know, nobody wants us to say anything because, oh, he's been a resident for 42 years. If we haven't noticed, these lifelong residents that have been in charge of San Bernardino are killing us. Like,
And we know, because so part of the thing that Treasure and I and some others have been doing is we've been requesting emails that and correspondence between the mayor and his chief of staff and the city manager and other city elected officials. We've been requesting, we have thousands and thousands at this point of emails, right? And we pore over them, and these certain names come up. And Dave Malinowski is one of them. That man is shady as S, wanting to try to get these land deals, sell me land for a fucking dollar. I mean, come on. He's so shady. And him and John are actually talking about doing these things. And so we know, okay, Dave Malinowski, you need to stop. Like, whoever is thinking about considering voting for him, if you're not a fan of John's, do not vote for him.
And
Because
all
he
he's going to
is
do is
definitely
allow
going to be
whoever
on John's fucking, he's going to be a
on
puppet.
his payroll. He's going to be on his payroll. And look, Henry, Juan, Basine, and Teddy, and Sandra, to her extent, have created this empowered, emboldened environment for John to do whatever he wants and run amok like a bull in a china shop. That's what he wants with Dave Malinowski. He wants full reign and control to just take all these illegal people and do whatever he wants with it, take money and put and invest in pot shops and just let the people, you know, let slumlords run free while others, you know, will pay in retribution to him. Like, it's this is extremely dangerous.
It's that.
And we
And then the other side, you have Damon Alexander, who maybe is not so much like, you know, we don't see that kind of shadiness happening. Definitely be a co-conspirator with John. So that's why these two are unacceptable in my ward. And anyone else who's an incumbent, Henry, Basine, and Juan, they need to be replaced. I mean, we need to take the power away from the mayor, because he's, you know, he's operating like he is the king, like he is a dictator, and like he can do whatever he wants and treat people however he wants and have the police treat people however they want, and no one's going to hold him accountable. And we're not holding him accountable because, again, your ballot is your voice. Take
That's
your
right. Well,
ballot
and
and vote him not to have this much power.
and also realize that you're going to be able to hire the next council will hire the new city manager, the new city clerk, the new city, and maybe depending, a city attorney. This is huge because Terry Ladeau is an absolute failure. Like, a failure of a city manager. In the 8 years I've lived here, she's our sixth city manager, and I worked for four of them. She is the least seasoned, and she has this odd complex that she thinks she's been able to do more or achieve more or be better than her predecessors, who were 20 and 25-year city council members who left because they refused to do what she does. They refused to lay down and let the elected body depict everything that was going to happen in the city. And that's why she is a failure, because she doesn't understand what she's doing, and it hurts the residents. That's all of this. Everything that's happening hurts us.
So the other thing I wanted to mention about some of the information that we have and we get. There are so many ways for any single person to get information about anyone who is in office or running. We look at everything. We look at their financial disclosure forms for campaigns. We look at, which is all public record. We look at their 700 forms, which is also a public record. Every single email, phone call, correspondence, memo that your government official or elected official has or has their name on is all requestable through a public records request through whatever organization or entity they come from. So if I wanted to do a request on a San Bernardino County supervisor, I send an email or a request to the clerk and I ask them, for that, and then, we get that information that way. And that's how we've gotten a lot of this information. You just have to ask for it. And people are like, where are you guys getting all this information? Who's leaking it? A lot of it is not leaked. We're just asking for it.
That's right.
You know?
That, and that's what they don't like, is that we know how to ask. It's
Yeah,
just.
that's all you have to do. You just have to ask for it in more cases than not. I was researching like a Senate candidate, and I literally just looked up different websites to find information. Looked at the 460s, looked at prior campaigns, looked at court records, and got the information that I needed. Because it's there if you do some due diligence, and it doesn't even take a long time. I literally found out what I needed to know like within a half hour.
Right.
So it, but people don't, either they don't have time or they don't know how to do it. But Treasure and I have been looking at these things. We do get consistently records from the city and other entities so that we can hold our people accountable. We don't say or post anything unless it's real talk.
That's right. And I think, and that's, you know, I get that it hurts people's feelings that they're not on, you know, in the in as much as they believe they are, or that they think they're privy to everything. But this is what diligence is, and making sure that you come, because with receipts, because this is how things in San Bernardino are a lot of, you know, she said, he said, blah, blah, blah. And then when we post information, it's like, oh my God, like, this
Yeah.
is happening. So, you know, what I hope and what I've seen, you know, in this last year is that people are rising up and bringing the documentation with them. And that is what hurts. Like, that's why the mayor hates me and hates what he sees on Facebook, because it's the agenda. It's the backup material. It's the budget or the emails. And he's They don't like the truth. That's the negativity they talk about. All this, oh, you guys are so negative. Yeah, because you're honest, because we tell the
That
truth.
this is a problem because when you're seen as the person who's mean or the negative one, all I'm doing is telling you what they did.
Right.
You're like, really, it's not me that you should. But yeah, and you know what? But I'm okay with that because, somebody has to tell you who you're dealing with. And we just San Bernardino has a history of just blindly, voting in people that have this history where they shouldn't be elected. And what we're trying to do is shine a light on all of that and tell you who your elected officials are.
And you know, I think it also comes from not, and I firmly believe this, there are people here that feel that their longevity has entitled them to be a part of this like group of like, I think I call them high school cheerleaders. Like they think that people who come here need to sit back and that and learn from them, or shouldn't say anything because they haven't had the 20, 25 years. And it's like, one of the things, and this was a conversation I had with Robert Porter. I told him, I don't need you to like me. I have no desire in the world to be your friend, because it doesn't change the information that's on the agendas, that's in the emails. Like, I don't care if you, and I think it really bothers people when you're not trying to build friendships, you're trying to make sure that people understand the transparency allowed in government.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we're here for. It's not, you know, dinners and movies and hangouts. It's fiscal responsibility and the lack of corruption and making sure that we don't disincorporate as a city. That's what I'm here for.
That is absolutely true. Like, if you and I and the others that are doing this work, because it's just not you and I, we get information from other people and other people do requests as well. And so I'm not going to name them, but they know who they are. And thank you guys for doing
thank
it.
You.
And but that said, if we did this in the spirit of, hey, let's make friends. No, that's not, you know what? I have my tribe. I have my circle and I'm good. Like, I don't need the same thing. Like, I don't need an extra friend. There's no shortage for me. I'm good. But again, we're going to be targeted as the negative ones. Oh, you know, everything you say is so negative and everything you post is so negative. But what am I posting? I'm posting truthful information about someone that you're supporting.
Right.
That's how am I being negative? I'm posting what either it's their words or their action or something that they're supporting. This is not me doing it. This is just me saying that they're doing it, right? So I'm okay with however people want to see that. I'm at a point in my life where I just don't care like about that. It's not, the important thing is honesty and governance and transparency. And I really don't care about the rest of it. And having lived with an attorney for 10 years, I'm very cognizant and very careful about what I put out there. As a blogger for several years now and doing PR work that I've done for over 10 years now, there's no way that I could be successful in any of these things for these last 10 years, never once having been sued or even threatened to be sued, because everything we put out and I put out is absolutely 1000% backed up and verified.
Right.
So,
which is why they get so mad that we have it.
True.
It's just
true. And I wish that more people.
I want people to be empowered, but like, understand that that's a lot of people are afraid to speak up. Who cares? Like, don't ever be afraid. This happened with the POA president. We saw it on my Facebook where you're a liar and you're this. It's like, dude, I'm sorry, old man, that you're all upset that people are calling out your politics and that your friendships are helping corrupt the city. But so what? Like, you're the one who wants to be the POA president. You're the one that wants to buddy with John. You're the one that wants to make these deals. Why is that our problem?
Yeah. Well, and what are people afraid of? That they'll get called a bad name. I've been called really bad things by all kinds of people. And I don't like, it's just, maybe that's a thing. Maybe you have to have thick skin. And I do have thick skin. I raised 4 boys, so I'm not a sissy. But I do wish that more people would get in the habit of checking out the people that they're voting for, the people that are representing them. Know who your people are. I always tell my kids that, you know, and I've always said it, and, you know, you need to know your people. Right.
That's right. And you can't, it's impossible to agree with everything. So if, you know, when I'm talking to somebody, when I talk about Juan, oh, well, he's just the nicest guy. And, you know, he did a ho-ho parade. And I said, okay. I was like, but have you watched his voting? Have you watched what he's done on the dais?
Yeah.
You know, I know on my street that I got, you know, I got some popular bills. And I said, okay. I said, so you vote for him and you got pop. Yeah. I said, but what about his other votes? What about the other things that he's allowed? Oh, well, you know, no, I don't really know. I said, so you only know what you've received because you're a voter and you're a high propensity voter. So what we know is that Juan only takes care of people that vote for him. And that's why the rest of the ward is falling apart, just like it was under John. I never thought about it like that before. I said, well, because you're getting, and I think that's where we see a lot of residents. They get, the ones that vote for the incumbents are the ones that get, because they know how to keep their base happy. And the rest of the city, they could be like, whatever, you're not voting for me, you're not getting anything.
Yeah. And it is an interesting, it's an interesting phenomenon that you cannot think, you must not think that a person individually as a resident is a nice person, but as a city elected official is a complete douche. The two are not connected. There are absolutely really nice people that hold seats all over this country. Nice people that I like, but their politics are trash for several reasons. You know, and it can be, and it doesn't even matter. It's not even a matter of party. It's just a matter of, you know, the decisions that you're making are not good for people. It's good for you personally as a politician, but it's not good for your constituents. And that is the thing that I have a problem with, is I think that every decision that is made should be made with the understanding that it's going to have a positive effect on your constituents, and
Right.
not because it's going to bring dollars to your campaign.
Exactly.
So there is, you can, like, you can still like somebody a lot, but totally disagree with their politics. Totally disagree with their role as whatever it is that they're doing. I mean, I have so many, I don't want to name like specific examples, but there are so many examples of people who I really like personally, but they just need to not be a representative of the city or the state or the county. This is, you know, but that's okay to have that. It's okay to do that. You can like someone, but still not want them to represent you.
We should want that constructive criticism. That's the only thing that's going to save us is going out and saying, "Hey, you are a nice person, but you're screwing up."
Yeah.
And we have to change it. It can't continue. Like this just can't. Look at where we're at. And I'm proud of the people that are speaking up. I'm proud of the people that are taking the initiative and the time to say, we're not going to do this again. You're not going to destroy this city, and we're going to be quiet about it because, the other people smiled really nicely when they did it.
Yeah, and you have been really reaching out and really going to every council meeting and speaking up. And there is a council meeting tonight.
Yes, 7 p.m.
And 7 p.m., Treasurer will be there, others will be there. We really would like to have members of the community that are not okay with things like Vader getting killed, with things like the mayor harassing everyone in his office, the mayor retaliating against people, causing another lawsuit, city clerk and city attorney, you know, against all these things that are happening, that this city belongs to us. So go to your council meeting. It is a meeting for your benefit. The city council meetings are a meeting, a public business meeting for the residents and the constituents of the city of San Bernardino. Voice be heard. Tell people if you're uncomfortable or unhappy with the way things are going, and ask for a change.
That's it. I think with that, I got nothing more to say.
No, we're ready for tonight. Give us the information on where, when, and how this is going to go down tonight.
So tonight, 7 p.m. at the Feldhound Library, that's off of the corner of 6th and E. You can sign up to be a public speaker when you get there, or you can email publicspeaking@sbcity.org and put your name in. So if you feel like nervous, what some people do, I will be there. I will sit next to you and I will be cheering you along in exercising your First Amendment rights. So
All right,
whatever you
sounds good.
need.
You guys show up tonight, 7 p.m.
Thanks, San Bernardino.
Thanks. We'll talk again soon.